Welcome to episode 435 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, and George. Miami is known as a cultural melting pot, with residents from all over living there from countries like Cuba, Haiti, the Caribbean, and beyond. This is most evident in the food. There are several foodie tours you can take in Miami, and of course we've done a few. And this week we wanted to tell you about them, as well as some of our other favorite places to eat. So let's get started. So I've personally done three foodie tours in Miami. How about
I've
you
done,
guys?
I think I've done four, and then I did an unofficial one too, so that's technically five. I did one with a local friend of mine who showed me all the cool local Cuban spots to eat.
Donna, you've done a few too, right? I know you've done one with us.
No, I just go to restaurants that I want to try.
She's like, I just go get the whole meal, you.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the restaurant and patronize one place. Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't and like George, to walk around and have every appetizer in it.
George, have you done a foodie tour?
No, the only time I've been to Miami, it was pre-cruise night. So it was flying that afternoon and grab whatever we could find quick and then sail out the next day.
Okay.
Oh, cool. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Maybe someday.
So it is a really great thing to do, like pre or post cruise. The last one I did last May, our family was flying home at like 6 p.m. after a cruise, so we had all day. So we ended up renting a car from the airport, and we did a South Beach food tour, which was pretty cool. They don't really tell you the restaurants beforehand, so I can talk a little bit about the experience, but they really want you to book the tour to know like where exactly they're going to take you. But this guy was really cool. The one that that did this tour, he had a lot of like questions in the can to help conversation starters. It was mostly my group, and then there were two people who were strangers. So it was really cool. We started off like outside at a place on Lincoln Avenue. Pretty much our whole foodie tour was on Lincoln Avenue, and it was like chips and guac. And then we walked to a place that did Cuban coffee, which is really cool. Which I know we did that on
really
our little
sweet
Havana. Yeah, and it's almost like a shot. I mean, well, it is like a shot. It's tiny. But yeah, it's supposed to like jazz you up, get you going for the rest of the tour. So it was cool.
You got to be careful. You can't have too many. I think one time I had like six.
Oh,
because they're
God.
So tiny.
That's like having a cup
it's my
of it.
Favorite. So I got to give a little shout out. I know we're talking about amazing food in Miami, but you know that I dog on airport food all the time, and I think it's disgraceful that we – anyway. But the Miami airport is one of the few airports where I actually enjoy having to eat something there because of the Cuban coffee and the little cafe there that is actually reasonably priced. So – well, shout out to the Miami airport for doing one thing right.
That's cool. Yeah, okay.
And bring a little bit of the, well, they bring the local culture into the airport, which I think every airport needs to do, but that's not this fun. So I've done two Cuban-focused food tours, and I think one of them you were on with, because it was pre-cruise with. Donna, yeah, were you on that one?
We did one when we went down there for a little mini-conference.
Yeah, and we did another one that was walking where we ate at Gloria Stefan's family's restaurant. Do you remember that?
That was one that combined, it was South Beach, and it combined like Art Deco, and we went by whose house was it where the guy got shot, the designer,
you know, Versace. Versace. Yeah.
But yeah. We had the best like rope of it. Ropa Veja, I'm going to say that all wrong, but delicious is what we had. We had delicious meat.
It was delicious. It was pretty good. Yeah, I guess that's another cool thing about it, too, is you get a little bit of history whenever you do these foodie tours. Like when I did the South Beach one this past May, they talked about the, get the Art Deco again. You know, like South Beach and Miami are really known for Art Deco and their design. And they talked about what some of the old buildings used to be, but they really preserved them, and they're now new, like, stores and stuff. So it's really cool. But Little Havana, that food tour and that that history was amazing at that one.
Yeah, it was, he explained the entire Bay of Pigs and how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
While we were sitting in front of the monument in recognition to the people that, you know, were there.
Yeah, and there were chickens.
And I think you only liked
the everywhere.
The Cuban sandwich that we had at the, I think it was the Old Cigar. It was the
Old Savannah.
Old Havana. But it had French fries in it, kind of like that Pittsburgh sandwich you like.
Huh, the Permanente, yeah. Yeah, we should go to a foodie tour in Pittsburgh.
Shoestring potatoes.
That was an amazing mojito, too.
Yes.
That place has really good mojitos. Like, that was licked the bottom of the glass, delicious. What else did we have? We had those little, are they called coquettes? What are they called? Somebody know?
Yes, croquettes.
Croquettes.
We also had Cuban coffee there, too.
Guava. We did. We had Cuban coffee.
Oh, the guava juice in that little grocery store?
Guava juice at the little grocery store. Was it guava juice? They call it Congo something?
It was also sugar cane.
I think that's what it was, sugar cane. The guava I was talking about was the guava jelly with, like, I don't know if it was cream cheese and the little pastries.
You guys have really good memories.
I have about 5 billion. I've had about five. I don't know. I'm big enough girl to have had a lot of those in my lifetime, and I cannot remember what they're called, which is really embarrassing. But they do sell those everywhere.
Well, the great thing is that I did this tour with you guys, yeah. And since then, both my daughter and my son and my husband, I've gone on different trips down to Miami with them, and I took them to Old Havana. For Cuban sandwiches, so
I knew the expert. I knew where it was.
I knew, yeah, and it was great because it's like, you know, that's exactly what these tours want you to do.
Yeah.
They want you to go patronize these restaurants again.
And it's why we love them. I mean, that's why I'm speaking for everybody, but that's why I love them so much, because you get to try so much in such a short period of time. And I'm that person. I'll get full really fast on one meal. So what if you pick the wrong place? What if you get the wrong meal? I'd rather have just a little bit and go around and then come back and like you said, go back to the one that you love the most. Mm-hmm. We always say this when we talk about Europe. I know I've heard, I think most of us say this before, but I'm a big believer in that you taste the culture, and then most people don't think to do it in our own backyard, so to speak. But these food tours in the cities, especially ones like the ones that take place in Little Havana, really do connect you with that culture the same way here as it does, you know, in the South and every place. We've done a couple, I think, all over the U.S. And it's always a nice way to tie in your...
It's always a cool... I mean, I like to do it in any city I go to, really. I think it is a really good way to experience that town. In Miami, like I said, it's such a melting pot. I mean, there's people there from so many different places, and I love that you can get so much good food from those little places. Yeah. It's really cool.
I found all the pictures of our food from Jose Andreas from the bazaar, and now my mouth is like watering.
So I especially want to give a shout out to Jose Andres, because he is such a humanitarian, and his, is it World Kitchen? He has a organization that goes to disaster sites, and they provide relief. They're in Turkey and Syria right now, helping feed people after the earthquakes there. They go whenever there's hurricanes, you know, any kind of humanitarian thing going on. It's amazing. They go there and they help out. So, yeah. His restaurants are not cheap, but I kind of feel like it's a way to kind of give back. And it is always an amazing experience.
But, you know, it's always going to be, it's always going to be a great meal. I've never had a bad meal at any of his restaurants. And he does give back. So it makes it's more justifiable to spend the money. what did we have? Do you remember what the thing was with on the watermelon? Does anybody remember what that was?
No. Was it like...
We had 12 We what did we get? Do you remember we had the...
I know there was like a deconstructed olive kind of thing, right? Where you like pop it in your mouth. I remember somebody got the octopus. That was really good.
I did. I had it. It was really good. And it was perfectly done. And I'm super picky about that.
So that has to be done right.
We did the ultimate menu. I took a picture of the ultimate menu. And if I don't butcher it, we had the caviar cone, Jose Taco, the Kui Pai Thai, Singapore's favorite street food, shrimp, peanuts, and chili sauce. I remember that being good. The Japanese taco with the grilled eel, shisho, cucumber, wasabi, pork, and chimichurones. The dragon fruit ceviche, I think that's what I was looking at, was tuna, pecans, lemon, and hibiscus. That was kind of weird, but it was good. I don't think there was anything bad. It sounded weird. And the bao, of course, you can't go wrong with a Chinese bun, pork belly. I mean, I think that's always going to be, you put pork belly in anything, that's going to be my favorite. not your everyday caprese salad. No, I can't believe it. This is why I take pictures of the menus, though. Do you remember what you had to drink? Because somebody had like a...
Some fantastic cocktails. And I remember Elizabeth got... It was supposed to be the best, I want to say, gin and tonic that you've ever had. And she agreed.
Yeah, I think I had the gin and tonic. And it had...
We should probably also mention where this is. It's in a hotel in South Beach called the SLS. So sometimes you can find these fantastic restaurants in hotels. It was not a cheap meal, but it was really good.
A lot of times you can. They're putting in it. So it had Hendrick's gin. It had Fever Tree Indian tonic water, which is, I think, what made it such a unique lemon, lime, juniper berries, macroot lime leaf, which I don't even know what that is. I think I had that. I had two of those, and then I thought we had one other. I thought I had one other drink too, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know. That place. And then did anybody else eat at the Japanese restaurant there?
I took my husband in there when we went down last year for we went down there for a Virgin cruise for our anniversary, and I took him to Katsuya. Yep.
That was really good.
It's very, very eclectic. Japanese. Not quite your typical, you know, hibachi style Benihana.
was definitely not traditional. Oh my gosh, I forgot I even ate there. At some point in time, we went to Big Pink?
Yes.
We went to that fun, cool, like...
diner and had some of the best milkshakes and desserts. But the thing you don't need to know about the Big Pink is that the portions are huge. Get something, split it, you know, quarter it, because there's plenty of food to go around for everybody.
That was the night that Elizabeth got me to slum it and put Jack Daniels in my just Jack and Coke.
What do you usually put in your Jack and Coke?
I don't drink Jack and Coke. I drink old fashions or
Well, I'm not surprised it didn't have like bougie drinks.
Yeah.
It did have alcoholic milkshakes.
Actually, I'm lying. I picked it because of the giant size cake and pie pieces that I, when I was researching restaurants to go to, that was like, I think one of the record threads was when we were trying to figure out where to eat, because we only had so many nights to eat there. And that's the thing about this is like Miami, I think people don't, foodies, you know, you go to New Orleans, you start planning your food like a month in advance. You're like, I don't know where I'm going to eat, but I know I got to book it and I got to figure out where I'm going and I only have so much time. Miami is kind of like that too. There's so many great options. You kind of have to figure out what you want, but we had like an epically long thread of like 50 restaurants on here trying to narrow it down. And I think we I think we picked wisely. So there was, I spent a lot of time over in Wynwood area the last couple times I've been down there. And my husband and I went and did a bunch of breweries and things like that. But we ate at a Korean barbecue place that was phenomenal. Kaiyu. I'm going to butcher it all the heck.
I thought it was cute. So cute. I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's spelled K-Y-U. And yeah, my cousin and I, we wanted to go there, but there was a kind of a line. So we ended up going to a Mexican place down the street, which was really good too.
Yeah, we squeaked in there, but when we walked by there and he smelled it, there was no way we were not going to eat there. We would have slept on the sidewalk to get into that place. And the problem with that particular restaurant is that every single thing that walked by us smelled and looked phenomenal. It was so hard to narrow down. I think I got ribs, but we got bao buns too. Those are really good. And then someone walked by with the chicken, and the chicken looked amazing. And I got a very fancy $50, probably the most I've ever spent on a whiskey drink. And I will say that's the one thing I was not very. It's kind of a more of a themed experience. They just put the ends of the other whiskey bottles in there, so it's a very unique blend.
Oh, God, really? It's like the backwash of all the other bottles? Yeah. And then they charge you $50?
And then they charge you $50 for it. And not to throw them under the bus for it, because a lot of places are doing this now. It's you're getting some aged bourbons and stuff blended in their own little house blend. But, yeah, I was not impressed. But everything else was delicious. And it was so good, in fact, that my husband asked for extra sauce, and we were getting on a cruise ship. We were going on Virgin Voyages for his birthday, and he took this container of sauce. I almost died. They didn't even charge him for it. They filled up a
container. I'm surprised it didn't need to be refrigerated, and that he made it home.
I just can't. He walked on the cruise ship with it, Sandy. He went right through the thing with it. They didn't say nothing. Let him just take that right on and. I was, and then, you know, it was in our refrigerator in the cabin, but it wasn't,
cold.
Yeah. And then we had to fly home. Yeah. He flew home with it. And the whole time he was like, oh, I can put your dress or your whatever in my bag. I'm like, with that sauce? Heck no, you're not putting anything of mine in there.
So did he eat it after he got it home?
Yes. Yes, he did. Okay. He was eating it right out of the thing on the cruise ship. I mean, he's crazy. He was dipping French fries in it. I love my husband. But it was like a spicy goyu sauce or something. Oh, he lived in South Korea for a few years with the army, and he has a big passion for Korean food, and actually we both really just love Asian food in general. Japanese, Chinese, we'll eat anything and we live in a perfect area now for it too. We've got a really great exposure, but that place, I would go back every time I go to Miami if I could get in there. Kaiyu, Asian inspired wood fired barbecue. That's probably why it smelled so good. If they could bottle that and put it in a cologne, that would sell.
They bottle it. I don't know. Maybe they do by now. Donna, you have a good tip whenever you go to different cities to find places you like to eat. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. I'm a big Guy Fieri fan. Mm-hmm. And we always look for a Triple D restaurant because, you know, first of all, usually they're inexpensive. They're where the locals go. They're not fancy. So I've tried a couple of them. I tried the Blue Collar Diner. It's attached to a motel. It's and parking is like non-existent. You gotta, you know, hopefully somebody leaves so you can get in. The place is not much bigger than my office. But I had a shepherd's pie, and it was fantastic. Nice. And then I also tried the La Camaronera. I probably butchered that one. it's actually in Little Havana. It's a restaurant and fish market, and so you go in and get fresh seafood. They fry it up right there. Comes with the yellow rice. It was off the beaten path. It was not on the main drag on Calle Ocho. So you had to actually physically have a car in order to go to this place. And it was in this little strip mall, but it was fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, we've done that a couple times at some other other towns we go to. Because he's gone everywhere. He's been to Raleigh.
Yes.
My friend took me to Versailles, which was, of course, it was like the after hours, the Cuban restaurant. It was really good. I've had, I think, more than my fair share of delicious Cuban sandwiches. And the funny thing is that most of the best ones come from, like, places you wouldn't even think had hot food.
Like a gas station? Or?
Yeah, well, there was one that was in, like, a convenience center. And we haven't been able to find it again since. And we've looked for it every time we've been to Miami. And it's crazy because it's almost like it just disappeared. I was looking for sunglasses of all things. And we wandered in some place and we could smell, like, really good food. And we got a sandwich. And that was, like, the best Cuban sandwich I've ever had. And now I have no idea. I should have taken a picture of the place. I should have.
Well, it might not be there anymore. I was trying to find the one place we went to. Remember, we went to that one pop-up in Miami that was like, I walked past it like three times because I was like, this is a breakfast place. This is not a like a beer garden.
It was in the egg stop, but that's not what it was called. It was
I think it was called the butcher shop, right? Or I don't know. I couldn't find it. I was trying to Google it, and I'm not sure if it's still there, but that was kind of cool. And I went back there for breakfast with my family the next time I went to Miami, and
that was
really good.
That was some dedication. I mean, the food was good, but the butcher shop, it's still there, Miami. The butcher shop, Miami. Our Wynwood Outpost is currently undergoing renovations. Yeah, so there, the butcher shop, beer garden, and grill. But that was not only good food, but he was so dedicated changing those light bulbs to change the ambiance every day. Who would do that? No,
I know.
I'd not be doing that. I'd be like, guess it's just going to be bright in here for the evening's dinner service.
Yeah. Turn off half the lights. Yeah. Apparently we were there early. Yeah, 7 p.m. was very early for that place. But that was cool. That was a really cool experience.
Yes. Any time before, like, 10 o'clock is early in South Beach.
Yeah, well, this was Miami.
What is that taco place that was? We were at, when we stayed at the hotel, was it in South Beach?
Oh, no, the one when we went to the mini conference, there was the taco place across the street. I actually went there again just this past January with my kids. I took them there and had another fishbowl margarita.
Guys, I'm so sorry. We are so bad. We ate amazing food. We're just not going to tell you. We're gatekeeping. I mean, we're not
telling
even intentionally
you. We're telling you how to find it. You can go find your own amazing food by, the one place, the pop-up, I found by Googling, like, breweries near me. And that's how we figured that out. And then asking people. I think you found out about the Korean barbecue one when we were talking to somebody in a brewery. So, talk to the locals.
Yeah, it was. We were going down the list, talking to the locals, and the pop up I had Googled. What I came up when I was looking for speakeasies, because that was my original intention was hidden booze. But I found hidden food, which was I think even better. They did have beer too, but
that's cool. Yeah.
That's
good. Any honorable mentions we wrap it up?
We also have to talk about Joe's Stone Crab. It's right on South Beach. And if you're in the mood for stone crabs and they're in season, the great thing is stone crabs, when those are actually renewable. Because usually when you eat crabs, you basically have to kill the crab in order to eat it. But stone crab legs, they basically grow back. So they cut off the crab leg and they serve it to you, and then the crab has a year to grow back a new one.
I don't know. You call this renewable, but I feel like it's a little mean.
It sounds
like you
very
rip
cool
their arm off.
No, it sounds really yummy, actually.
Well, I know if I don't remember, but I feel like I probably got oysters there and not crab. But I know I was looking for seafood.
Crab.
Well, they do that. They
picked
can
off the bottom.
Yeah.
How many of them survived to have their legs grow back?
I think they just take their claw.
Almost all of them. That's the thing.
It's
they just take the claw.
Yeah, one claw. They leave it one claw so it can fight. But,
oh,
you know.
That's terrible.
I know. That was horrible.
Well, we're ending on a bad note, though. It's depressing.
This is why my husband doesn't eat seafood.
What's your food recommendation? There was another place. What was that place we had brunch that was really good when we were down there for the Cruise World?
Oh, it was right across. It was right down from our hotel. I don't remember the name of it.
We had some good food that trip, too.
Yeah,
our hotel, too, had the restaurant was pretty good. That the one down the street where we had brunch, it's going to haunt me. Anyway, sorry, guys.
Ask the locals. They'll tell you the good places to go. So, well,
that's
is our show.
The best tip that you'll ever get.
Yeah, exactly. All right. For reals this time, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.